The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone. When he's not on the microphone, he's playing a song. And when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone. And then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
Let me ask you guys something. I know that when I looked at the injury report before the show, Frankie Cardicelli is a questionable.
I think he's out.
Okay, so do we know that? Here's why. We're having Casey Pratt on at 8:27. And I'd rather, I know his preference would have been to go later.
Oh, we can do that.
Okay, we can do that. So let me see if I can adjust that. So just everybody tentatively, Casey Pratt from ABC 7, who's been all over this A's thing, along with Brody Brazil, who we'll have on as well later in the week, and who actually, we'll play the audio, had a pretty decent exchange with Vivek at the press conference. And props for Vivek for standing there and going back and forth with him a little bit and answering his questions, unlike John Fisher, who's skedaddled. We'll have Casey on either at 8:27, but I'll let him know if he wants to go at 9. If he does, then I'd actually prefer that. We'll have a little extra time with him. And then, Jason, we'll switch our segments back.
Casey Pratt, also a huge wrestling fan.
I saw that, as a matter of fact. He put out a video of one of the guys from yesterday saying, like, Casey's my favorite guy or something like that. Cody Stark?
Rhodes,
sorry. The Kings split the weekend. We went over the Celtics game, beat the Nets. I mean, I got the audio here if you want it. It's, they won. It was, I'm not going to, even though that third quarter was just gross basketball, Right. Even though you and I talked about how there are quite a few other teams that would have turned that into like a 35-14 run, but the Nets are just terrible. You know what, Jason? I feel like I'm being unfair when I, like, hey, you know what they did? They went on the road. Mm-hmm. They were supposed to beat the Nets. They beat them by 30.
Yeah.
They whatever.
People out. Like, there was all the trademarks of the stuff that gives Kings fans a nervous reaction, right?
Yes.
They were playing a team, quote-unquote, they should beat.
Yes.
That team had plenty of people out. They only had 8 available players, and I'm sure there was a portion of people going, here we go again.
This guy.
Yeah.
This guy.
Understandable. It's happened a lot. Well,
this guy.
There were stretches. I actually didn't think they played that great for the majority of the game, but the moments they were good, they were really good. And anytime you hold any NBA team, I don't care who they have available, to 77 points.
Big deal.
That was by far the season best. And, I mean, look, in the end, it wasn't a mystery, but good for them. They got the win that they – I mean, if it was a loss, it would have been horrific. So it wasn't. You take the win, and now it sets you up for this final week to have a chance to still get to where you want to. But I knew we would get here, and unfortunately we're here, Dave, where I don't know how many wins they're going to end up with.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter where they end up with, if that's 6, 7, 8, 9,
yeah,
we're going to go, what if?
What if?
This whole season has been a what if.
The whole season is a what if, and the only way for it to not be a what if, in my opinion, is if they make the second round of the playoffs.
Mm.
If they are in the play-in and they get in the playoffs and they're able to upset OKC or Minnesota or Denver, who is almost certainly who it's going to be.
That's progress. Yeah.
And we're going to say, you know what? All right, now Monty's got to build a little bit. Add a little bit, and maybe we can go to the next level.
Or maybe add a lot of it.
Also, you know, I'm one for sports activism, and I'm seriously considering wrapping up another RV and going on a trip here because we really need to start a movement to get Mikal Bridges out of there. I feel so bad for him. He would be... Like, here's my dream scenario, that the offseason comes, the way everything shakes out, the Hawks pick is sent over to Atlanta for Herder. That's completed. We now can trade draft picks. And, you know, God bless him, love you, Harrison, but Harrison Barnes and I don't know, you know, whatever off the bench. To fill up the salary and do like 3 or 4 first rounders, just clear it out for Mikal Bridges. Like that would be and I say attainable, you know, I'm throwing out some big things here, but of the realistic, you can find a way there players for the Kings to add to this group. I think Mikal Bridges might be my number one.
Yeah. It's funny to see a guy in action a lot. Like I mean, this is totally unfair in context because they're bad. And
sure.
Like, sometimes guys go to teams like that, and then they just like, wow, that's all they've got. He's thriving. Honestly, he played like Harrison Barnes yesterday.
He played terrible.
For portions of the game, like, then he would make a play. Oh, my gosh, I completely forgot even have Bridges.
Yeah.
Like, he did nothing.
He
now, I know he's a way better player than that, so it's not an indictment on him. But that specific game, like, it's a little different when you have a player every game. Because, look, when Harrison Barnes wasn't here,
right,
it's like, oh, he's on the Warriors. He was the leading scorer in the Dallas Mavericks, and you get him for every game. Mm-hmm. You're like, yeah, there's games where he's good. There's games where he disappears. So it's different when you get a player every time. I hope that's not a normal trend for him. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt of being in kind of a mess right now.
Well, I would say even this year, which has just been a disaster year, this isn't what he signed up for.
Right.
He's played in every game.
Yeah.
He's never
missed a game in his career.
How insane is that?
The two longest active streaks are him and Harrison Barnes.
So you got this Iron Man, right? He's going to give you 20-something points. He's going to give you a combined 8 rebounds/assists. He's going to shoot 37-38% from behind the arc, and he's going to play lockdown defense. He's a good defender. He's a really good wing. He's one of the better wing defenders in the game. I would love to see he and Keegan. To have he and Keegan on the floor along with Fox, Sabonis, and then, you know, whoever they end up going with at the two. To me, that is a move. That would be an Aaron Gordon-esque Denver move. When I keep saying you got to find your Aaron Gordon, it's just to watch him, and he's only, you know, he's 27.
Right.
He'll be 28 in August, but got to get him out of there, man.
Yeah.
This is rough. Anyways, enough about Mikal Bridges. Also, one other note about this game towards the end there.
I'm just glad you didn't throw in Ben Simmons.
Well, no. Interesting, at one point, I think you had a lineup on the floor. I want to say it was Ellis, Sabonis, Murray, Obi Jones.
Davion?
I think it was Davion. And I think we should call that lineup the McNair. Because it's all his draft picks, his projects, everything, and his big draft move. You know, just, and by the way, the lineup worked pretty decent for a minute there. Kings close out 29-13 after being outscored 24-13, and they get the 30-point win. We have some audio for you. Here's Keegan Murray on the bench's contribution.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like every guy so far is off the bench has been aggressive, looking for the shot, looking to affect the game in certain ways with energy. So those guys have been key for us ever since we lost Malik and Kevin, and they'll continue to be a huge part of what we do.
Coming up in 3 for Madness, by the way, you said, Jason, you don't know what their final record's going to be. That's going to be one of the questions. How many wins are going to get? Also, who is the Velvet King?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you Davion, certainly a big-time candidate for that. He also spoke about the bench.
Yeah, I mean, they're great energy, giving us really good energy off the bench. Kobe playing really well defensively, getting downhill, getting teammates involved, and he's playing the right way, something we need. He's kind of been ready the whole season, so that's good to see. And Trey has just been all season. I mean, even if he's not hitting shots, he rebounds, he plays hard for us.
Weirdly enough, this is something unique to Brooklyn. Weirdly enough, all the Kings doing their post game from the toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
It's pretty
toilet store.
Pretty random, the toilet store. Finally, Mike Brown. You sense a theme here about the bench on Kings players stepping up for their downed teammates.
No, it's been huge because, again, you know, not one person is going to be able to step up and do what Malik did for us. So we got to kind of do it by committee. On top of that, we have to be able to increase our physicality defensively and do a better job on that end of the floor. And our guys collectively have done a pretty good job with that, man, which has given us an opportunity to win some games tonight. It was a really good game on the defense end of the floor. And a lot of it was led by our bench. You know, Kobe was great, Trey was great, Alex was great, Dave Allen was great. And they impacted the game in so many ways that don't necessarily show up in the box score. That it was just a huge team win by our guys.
Well, there you go. We got a break. Cleaning up the text line at 916-339-1140. Hey, maybe I heard you wrong. Did you just say Bridges can average 8 rebounds a game? He's good for 4, not 8. Yeah, you did. I said he's going to give you an average of 8 rebounds. That's my fault for phrasing it weird. I said he's going to give you an average of 8 rebounds and assists, meaning combined between the two each game. That's my phrasing. Between the two, he's going to average right around 8 total Rebsists.
Gotcha.
Us rounds.
Yeah.
Ass rounds.
We'll go with the first one.
The first one's probably okay. From the 916. Hey, good morning, y'all. Can you ask Kelly Brothers about Zach Edey and him not being eligible for NIL money? That seems weird and definitely not fair.
Good
for him.
Business.
Well, hey, I didn't know that, so I will.
Why would he not be eligible?
I don't know either, so I'll look that up. And by the way, Kelly's not till Thursday. Good to get. It's nice we're getting Kelly.
We'll save that question.
Yeah, we will save that question. We'll take a break. When we return, just 1 minute from now. Three for madness. Did the Kings get screwed over in Boston? Who is the Velvet King? And what's going to be the final record and seed for your Sacramento Kings? We'll get to all that right after this.
Three answers. It's three for madness on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Here's question one.
It was interesting. This is something I've. It's, you know what? Honestly, this is such just to show you how women's basketball is going so mainstream. It's so awesome. We're going to talk about this at 7:43. I was yesterday looking at WNBA mock drafts. Never done that before. I did, and most of them have Cameron Brink going number two.
Number two from Stanford.
Fun fact. Her brother's the one that gave us the White House tour.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Small world. And I knew we had gotten into a conversation, and I knew that was his sister because we talked about it. But I, again, ignorant guy here. Yeah. I had no idea. I had no idea she was, you know, that good. Number two? Like, I had an Angel Reese, perhaps.
Yeah, Reese's supposed to go a little bit later than that.
Yeah, like seven or eight.
Yeah.
Like, I know Paige Beckers. I know Caitlin Clark. I know Angel Reese.
Yeah.
Cameron Brink. Probably I forget her name. Now I'm going to look stupid, but the really tall girl on South Carolina.
Yeah, Cardoso.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
She's really good. Women's basketball is in great hands. I love it. More stuff to watch. Give it to me. And we'll talk about that at 7:43. It's Masters Week as well. We'll be checking in and out on that. In the meantime, it's three for madness. It's Chris for Laud. It's question one.
Did the Kings get screwed over in Boston on Friday?
Yes. Also, no. And this is one
in
of
which way the final call?
The final call.
Yeah,
they got the final call was a foul. It was a foul. Yeah. The last 2 minute report said so. It was a foul, and there should have been free throws, and we should have either had overtime or a win or whatever the hell. That being said, they also kind of screwed themselves. You know, whether or not you believe Keegan Murray should have held on to that rebound, the defensive rebound that was poked out of his hands and turned into a basket for Boston to give them the lead. Whether Fox should have hit that midi, he hits 99 out of 100. Keegan, who probably didn't realize he had a little extra time. He had the rebound and putback he tried all in the air, which also was very makeable. But mm-hmm. You know, I'm saying that sitting my fat butt on the chair here. Yeah, they got screwed, but it's also one of those, like, in a heavyweight championship fight, don't leave it in the hands of the judges.
Sure.
You know, so I'll say yes and no. I'll waffle.
And I'm going to stick with my point on the last 2 minute report. I think it's bad for the league. I get why they do it. They want to have the feeling of, you know, transparency. Here's what we admit, our mistakes, and good for you. Yeah, had that not had the last 2 minute report, what would we be saying? Colby Jones got fouled.
Yes.
Now we know he did. And what does that do? Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Just admit that you got it wrong. And again, officiating's tough. I get all of that. I don't think the last 2 minute report's healthy, honestly. It gets more frustrating than anything because you can't take it back. I mean, you and I would literally go, didn't you think Colby Jones got fouled?
Yes.
He totally did. He got hit across the face. Now it's confirmed.
I'm looking at the reason why I paused there, Jason, you hear me typing, is I am currently searching right now. I'm Googling and I'm looking on social media. I don't see an apology from the referees. I don't. I mean, yeah. I thought, did they have a sleepless night like they did after the Lakers bad call? No, I don't think they did. Did they? Number two, please.
Question two.
Who was the Velvet King yesterday?
I said he was a big, like a nominee. Certainly, you could argue, was a front runner. Davion Mitchell had 12 points in 28 minutes. Give him 3 assists, a steal, great defense. But I'm going to give it to Trey Lyles. Double-double for him. 14 points, 10 boards, two assists, a steal, and two blocks on 6 of 8, 2 of 3 from beyond the arc. 29 minutes. What a game for him. But you give it to Davion. I ain't mad.
Yeah. And even a shout out to Colby Jones, yeah, getting meaningful minutes, playing in the main part of the rotation. I thought he did well. But it's Trey Lyles, too. He went 6 for 6 to start, missed his last two. He was critical. The team wasn't making a bunch of threes, and he started coming and make them. It's so good to have him back. He's locked up for another year, too. He's really important to this team. I would go Velvet King, Trey Lyles.
Number three.
Question three.
What will be the Kings' final record and seed?
All right. So you got Oklahoma City tonight, and then you have this, or tomorrow, excuse me, no games tonight, national championship. And then you've got the Phoenix, the New Orleans, the Portland, 4 games left. Here is my unbiased, here's what I think is going to happen. I think they are going to somehow, some way, I think they'll finish 2-2.
Hey, you had them at 2-6 last week.
I did.
That'd be 4 wins.
I had them at 2-6. It's 2-2. I feel like 2-2 is almost too, like I'm being too optimistic.
Really?
Well, they are not going to be favored against Oklahoma City tonight, or tomorrow, in OKC.
They will be favored against Portland.
They will 100% be favored against Portland. New Orleans has beat the hell out of them every time they've played this year. I have no reason other than maybe Ingram's going to be out. I'm chalking that as a loss. I'm chalking OKC as a loss. And I'm going to say they split between New Orleans and Phoenix. Maybe they get the Phoenix win, or maybe they lose to Phoenix and somehow come away with the New Orleans. I don't know. 2-2, that would put them at 47-33, and I think 47-33, unfortunately, whatever you want to call it, I think 47-33. That's going to be. I think they will be the 8 seed. They'll be playing either Phoenix or New Orleans on the road to start the whole thing, and then if they lose, they'll face the winner of the Lakers-Warriors.
They would host them. Yeah, I'm trying to get myself mentally wrapped around the idea of them being in the play-in.
Yep.
If that happens, it's so important to be 7-8. One of those two.
Yeah.
Just because of what you said, like the little bit of security, knowing that if you don't win the first game, you've got a second opportunity. If you're 9-10, yeah, you could win 2 in a row, but I don't like those odds. You're playing the Warriors or Lakers. The Warriors, by the way, have the second best record next to Boston since the end of January, and they haven't caught anybody. They're still in 10th. And the Lakers are playing great. I know they lost last night, but they've been playing really well. I probably have the Kings around that 2-2. Maybe I'm going to go a little optimistic and say 3-1, but I don't even know what 3-1 will be. 3-1 still might be maybe the 7. I mean, you're going to still need help.
Yes.
And again, I'm going to go back to last night. I saw some people like saying, yeah, the Kings probably want the Pelicans to beat the Suns. I think it needed to be the other way around for the Suns to beat the Pelicans. And so, but we'll see. We'll see how this all goes and whether or not the Kings can do it. But they obviously, the non-negotiables, if they want to get as high as 6, they have to beat New Orleans and Phoenix. Have to.
I don't know any of the answers. We're just guessing. What I do know is that the season's going to end in one of two Shakespearean ways, and I'll let you pick the one that you'd rather, that would be less painful. Number one, the Warriors, who, as you mentioned, are incredibly hot, are going to play. You know, the Kings will lose to Phoenix, New Orleans in the first part of the play-in. Then they will host, for their playoff lives in the 8 seed, they will host either the Lakers or the Warriors. They'll either host the Warriors, and the Warriors and Steph once again will send everyone home like they did last year. Or Anthony Davis's first win over Domantas Sabonis is going to be at Golden One Center where it counts. Which one would hurt less?
Hurt less?
Yeah, which one, if it's going to happen and you've got to pick one, would you rather the Warriors send the Kings home Golden One Center or the Lakers?
The Lakers.
Yeah, I think so too. Isn't that weird? That's exactly how I feel.
Well, I've transitioned from... again, it's not like, hey, the Lakers are fine. They're not it's not the same. It's not
the Warriors.
Like this, the Lakers venom to me has always been Kobe, Shaq, Phil,
right,
Fisher, Fox, Ori, that group. And I knew that, you know what, it really came to realization. So the Kings lose last year, Game 7, painful to the Warriors. Mm-hmm. The very next round, Dave, it's the Warriors and the Lakers. I'm like, go Lakers.
Seriously.
I'm like, what am I doing?
For real.
But I know. That was too fresh. The Warriors and this group still have something. So, yeah, it would be more painful if the Warriors eliminated the Kings, in your example.
It's just, it's giving, and it sucks. It's just, it gives me flashbacks to last year, Game 7. You could not have asked for anything more from the fans.
Mm-hmm.
You could not have asked anything more. They were there. They were there early. They were on point. And, Jason, when the Kings came out, obviously in Game 1, there was that. But when the Kings came out in Game 7 for intros, the energy in that place was insane. And it made me think, did Golden 1 Center switch to all electric like American Energy is asking people to do? Because that's what it felt like to me. That was the only explanation I could come up with. Hey, Carmichael Dave here. Speaking of, might as well do an American Energy conversation here. That makes sense. Save big this spring by switching to electric with my friends at American Energy. Stay ahead of those spiking energy bills this summer with up to $9,000 in rebates on a new ultra high efficiency comfort system. Now, American Energy is providing huge rebates from SMUD as well as spring specials by installing one of many incredibly efficient AC options available to you right now. So, fluctuating gas bills? Nah, get rid of them. Switch to year-round all-electric with American Energy. Let them perform a free in-home energy efficiency analysis. See where they can help you save for the warmer months. These guys are the best. Learn more by calling 916-520-9990. That's 916-520-9990 or AmericanEnergyAir.com. American Energy, making the uncomfortable comfortable. Another quick one-minute break. When we come back, the final week in the NBA. It's the final week in the NBA. Nope. Okay. We'll get to that and what's going on and around your Sacramento Kings next.
Go Lakers.
Waking you up with the best in local sports.
They just make it interesting, you know?
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
On Sacktown Sports.
I would just one day, you know, I'll never know what it's like to make the feel of the contact with the bat in a major league ballpark to hit one 450, or how it feels coming out of your arm throwing 95, a game-winning buzzer beater. How must it feel? I guess they don't really know then, but whoever the guy was in Europe that was like dinking around on the keyboard, did he have any idea that he would be coming up with this iconic intro?
No chance.
That would be used decades. This guy will be, he may already have passed, I don't know, but at some point he'll be gone and that ding ding.
Are you saying he's had the final countdown?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's over. I was thinking about that the other day. Yeah. Like, I think it's five notes. Like, do you think Jack White of the White Stripes was just goofing off one day with his bass and was like, let me see. Oh, that sounds nice. Yeah. And the next thing you know, it's being sung everywhere.
Yeah. And I feel like there's, I don't have an example. There is one I had before. I can't think of it off the top of my head right now. Of bands that I think are trying to create that. I'm yeah. like, oh, okay, you're trying. Like, you're trying to make this like a sports anthem. And I'm like, it's okay. But you're trying too hard with this song. Do you have one that you can think of? There's one I think that
100%.
I mean, Queen's got a couple of them.
But I think they've done, well, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, but they
were successful. I think Fall Out Boy has one that is, and then one that I'm like, are you trying too hard to make another...
That's
what I'm thinking of.
The band Styx recently came out with a new album. And
did you play this for us?
I might have, but this is probably my best example because I feel like they're all like 80 and they were sitting around in the studio and they're like, we need to come up with something that sounds Queenie. And I mean, that sounds like,
what do you mean by that?
Like the band Queen.
Oh, okay.
where they have the if you were to take a sports anthem or some anthem that you would want in sports, and you were to put all that together and say, okay, I want it to sound like that. I want it to sound a little bit like Queen. Let's make it an anthem. Okay, that works. I think it would have been this song. And the reason why it's taking me so long and why I'm killing this thing is I can't. I did not want to spend any time on this, but now it's a thing.
My bad.
No, it's not your fault. It's that why can't I just, why is every single one of them in concert? I don't want that. I want just simply the stupid song that I was going to give them some, everything's live. All right, you know what? I don't care. Look it up. It's called The Fight of Our Lives. Okay. What a failure. What an absolute. I'm just going to play it off my phone. I don't even care. Listen. Like, this is Queen. That's a Rush. Little bit of Rush. You're right. Like, if Rush and Queen had a baby. But the Queen part's coming up when the vocals come in. We will
not give in. Yeah.
That's anthem-y.
They're trying.
Yeah. One more line here. I mean, come on.
Yeah, they're trying.
This is the team just got back together and said, okay, guys, we need to give this the chance that we deserve to have.
And then the montage.
Yes.
Now, that being said, is that on my regular? I have a playlist for driving into work. Yes, I have a playlist for driving into work. I do. Is that on rotation? It might be. I have to wake up. It's music.
So it works.
It's musical coffee. Yes. Yeah. Final week. It's the final.
I'm not walking over there before I get my coffee.
No idea.
I pay my taxes.
Yeah, I mean that. No idea I ever said that. The Mavericks are currently your 5 seed. They finished the year at Charlotte, at Miami, Detroit, and OKC.
Ready for them to be the 5 seed.
Yeah, that's a cakewalk. I mean, OKC, fine. Big win, though. Big win over Houston.
Yesterday, yeah. Houston missed 3 free throws late. 1 by Van Vliet, 2 by Jabari Smith. Exum 3, overtime, and then boom. Kyrie 48, Luka just a monster.
Well, and you know what? And I will say this about Dallas. I really root for Dante Exum. He's bounced around. Former, I think he was a 4 or 5 pick in the draft. Bounced around. He's Australian. How can you hate him?
And good. Dallas Clippers opening round. Good. Someone's out.
Right? Someone. Yeah. Oh, my God. Dallas Harden versus Luka. Which one is going to succeed in giving away the series more? One of them. What is the combined? Well, I guess with Harden. Is there going to be a moment where Harden literally, like, Harden passes him the golden rim and you are now the free throw merchant, Luka? I can't do it anymore.
I think there'll be a time where they're both in the same camera shot and they'll both be going, what? It's complaining. And
together.
Like, wait.
Right.
You're both mad at the same call?
Will there be a point where James Harden's matched up on Luka or vice versa, and you have the world's first double flop where the replay shows that there's zero, you can actually put a book between them, and they both just...
Both act like they got shot.
Just like they got shot and roll around on the ground, and then replay showed nothing. They were not touched. So, yeah, your 5th seed, Matt. The Suns play the Clippers tomorrow at home. It's a back-to-back. They then go and play the Clippers on the road in L.A. Then they come up here against the Kings Friday, then at Minnesota.
They have a brutal schedule. They've had it, though. We mentioned that their final 10 was going to be really tough. They've done a little bit better than I thought they would. But that's a team the Kings can catch, for sure.
They have 4 left.
The 1-game lead on the Kings.
I mean, Jason, they are, 4-2? Let me see. 3, 4. They're 4-2 at the start of the stretch, which you're right, is better than I thought. Wins over the Timberwolves, Cavs, at Pelicans, at Nuggets.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
And then lost to the Pelicans
and the Thunder.
And the Thunder. So basically, if you're trying to catch Phoenix, the Kings have to do one game better than them as long as one of the wins is against them.
Yeah, they have to beat Phoenix.
Right.
Like, they've got to beat Phoenix at home.
So if they do that and then gain one game somewhere else, mm-hmm. right, or have, you know, one game better production yeah. in the Final Four than them.
The Pelicans are at Portland, at Sacramento, at the Warriors, and then they host the Lakers. And what could be a meaningful game for LA? I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. It would be, if it was a meaningful game, it would almost certainly be the Lakers trying to get the 8 seed, depending on what the Kings do. You'd like to think that Portland game is a win for them.
Yeah, see, that's the – so if we do that, yeah. and it, under the assumption – again, these are assumptions. If they win tomorrow, meaning OKC.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Portland.
New Orleans over Portland.
Yeah.
And the Kings will be underdogs against OKC. If those two things happen,
yeah.
Pelicans would have to lose out. Kings would have to win out.
That's right.
To catch New Orleans. That's why I think yesterday's mm-hmm. New Orleans win was a big deal.
Yeah, I don't think they're doing that. I don't think they're catching the Pelicans, especially with the tiebreaker issue, too. And yeah. the Kings are one game in the loss column, by the way. I mean, we're looking at games back. One game in the loss column behind the Pelicans and the Suns. It just yeah. seems like...
But it could be, too, as early as tomorrow.
It could be. By the way, probably will be. Now, the Kings have had some success against the Thunder this year, but
yeah.
the Thunder have also beaten them, too.
Yeah.
And the Thunder 29-8 at home. This is the end of a road trip. Not only, by the way, do they have New Orleans. New Orleans is their first game back.
But
New Orleans is also their first game back.
Yeah.
After an East Coast swing.
Right.
Against a team that's beaten them by, I think, a combined 80 points.
When you come back for a back-to-back, too. The Kings, New Orleans, and then Phoenix.
I have.
Arguably two of the most important games of the year.
Oklahoma City tonight, the Pelicans Thursday, Phoenix, and Portland on Sunday is your remainder for the Kings. That just smells like 8 or 9 seed to me. It mm-hmm. really does. It smells like 8 or 9 seed. Lakers, Golden State, who, as you said, have been playing very, very well, have won 7 of their last 10.
But that's good. One's losing tomorrow.
One is
You're
going
probably to root for the Warriors there.
100%. Yeah, absolutely.
Because most likely the Warriors are going to be 10. Most likely.
I would say very likely they're going to be 10. Certainly rooting for the Warriors there. The Warriors, speaking of, and the Lakers, just to finish up, Warriors at Memphis, at New Orleans.
Yeah, they only have 3 games.
Yeah.
So they have a lighter week. That's why they're on the half game difference from everybody.
And then the Warriors have Lakers on the road at Portland, New Orleans, and Utah. By the way, according to Shams Charania, Karl Anthony Towns participated in his first team scrimmage yesterday, and that there is optimism he could return before the playoffs start, meaning he would return later this week. That's good news, then. All right. So, I mean, that's good news in the sense that we want to see everybody healthy and playing.
Yeah.
That's bad news, perhaps, for the rest of the league, but Minnesota's been doing just fine with that. They're currently tied with the Nuggets at 54-24. And, Jason, we talk about the races here in the Western Conference. There's also that up-top race,
yes.
Timberwolves, Nuggets. And so you talk about the Thunder. Not only are you trying to beat the Thunder at home, you know, or on the road, I should say, tomorrow, but the Thunder are playing for every bit as much as the Kings. They're one game back of the Timberwolves and Nuggets in this fight. But, Jason, I don't know if you've taken much of a look. We talked about the Bucks a little bit last week.
Oh, my gosh.
They've lost 4 in a row. They are now one game up on the Magic for the 2 seed.
Yeah, that whole thing has changed. Cleveland's plummeted. They've lost a bunch of games. And from 2 to 8 really is still shuffling in the East.
There are 4 games separating 2 and 8.
Yeah.
You have the Bucks, and then a game back, you have the Magic and the Knicks. A game and a half back of the Bucks, you have the Cavs. The Pacers are a game back of the Cavs. The Sixers are a game back of the Pacers, and that's home court. The Heat are a half game back of the Sixers. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
By the way, don't look at nothing, but...
In the 9-10 play-in, it says.
The 9-10, the Bulls and Hawks. Not for nothing, but the Kings currently a half game up on the Pacers for the record.
Yeah. You know, and we talked about how, up and down this year has been for the Kings. I was looking at this. Literally every team in the West, like that's in the top right now, they all have better records than last year already.
Yeah.
Minnesota's 12 more wins than last year. Denver has a win more at this point. OKC has 13 more wins than last year. Lakers have Clippers, 6 more wins than last year. Dallas, can't read my own writing, 12 more wins than last year. Phoenix, 1 more win than last year. New Orleans, 4 more wins than last year. Kings right now have 3 less, could still tie their number. The Lakers have 2 more wins than last year. The Warriors are 1 below right now. Houston has 6 more wins than last, no, 16, man. And then you go to the bottom, Utah, Memphis, Portland, and San Antonio have worse records. So everybody in the top 11 has been better. It's been a far more difficult year.
The Phoenix Suns last year had the 4 seed. They were 45-37.
Yeah.
The Kings are 45-33 right now.
Right.
They've clinched at least a tie for the 4 seed last year. The Kings were 48-34. This year, last year there were two teams in the Western Conference that had 50 or more wins, Memphis and Denver. This year, as of right now, there are 4.
Yeah.
Mavericks have 48, and then, you know, you have the Suns and Pelicans with an outside shot.
And it even thinks about the 5 that won't make it this year. Houston's out, but they've gotten better. Memphis might bounce right back into the mix once they have everybody right. And then there's only a matter of time until Wembanyama and that crew.
Oh, I mean, God.
It may not be next year,
right,
but he is going to be a real big problem.
Yeah, he is. Literally, and I see what you did there. We'll take a break when we come back. All right, college basketball. We start out with the women. What a game yesterday. South Carolina undefeated. Dawn Staley and the crew beating Caitlin Clark in Iowa. What does that mean? Where does everything go? What's the conversation all about there? I think it's actually incredibly interesting. The mainstreaming, if you will, of women's college basketball is also rearing some ugly heads that we're familiar with. We'll make that connection and then look ahead real quick to tonight's men's national championship game. We'll do that next.
In the morning to get your sports fix.
Live and local.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Thanks for pointing that out, Jason. We always have the national sports shows on the TVs in here. And they're all going over right now. Shannon and Steven and who is that? Tim Legler?
Yeah.
Thank you. Are the Lakers the biggest threat to the Nuggets in the West?
Oh, Lakers.
I mean, wow, Jason, I know. Are the why are the Kings the biggest threat? I mean, I'm not saying they are, but why aren't they?
They're not saying they are.
why not? Let's see. I'm just scrolling here. Yeah, I'm looking. Let's see. Lakers versus Nuggets this year. That's a loss by 10 on March 2nd. It's a loss by 8 on February 8th. And that is they only play them 3 times?
Lucky.
Okay, so the Lakers, the 9-seed Lakers, are 0-3 versus Denver this year. But are they the biggest threat? Why aren't the Kings? Aren't we 2-2 versus them?
3-1.
3-1, excuse me. Hello? Why don't you talk about that, Shannon? Tell you what, the biggest threat to our buddy Matt holding a $100 gift certificate from Jiffy Lube is somebody on the phone lines, hopefully soon, at 1-800-920-1140. Jiffy Lube driving the game yesterday. Call right now and just tell us what the Jiffy Lube driving the game was. If you're correct, you will get yourself a $100 gift.
You're listening early as a hint, hint, hint.
Very, very early. South Carolina beat Iowa yesterday in the national championship game. And
that was a fun weekend. Final Four in that game.
Really was, dude. It really was. And Caitlin Clark had 18 points in the first quarter, which broke a quarter record for championship games. It was a 1-seed versus a 1-seed. It was who most people thought would face off with a little splash of UConn in there as far as the favorites go. Caitlin Clark ends up with 30. But the story here was South Carolina really figuring it out, a 29-19 second quarter. They actually outscored Iowa the rest of the way, 19-13, 19-16. Clark with 18 in the first quarter, held to 12 in the next three quarters.
You know, watching that game in its entirety, you looked at, like, honestly, it felt like a mismatch. I mean, good for Iowa to stay close. They were just so much bigger.
They were.
South Carolina could miss, and they would get a rebound. Miss, get a rebound, get another rebound, get another rebound. It was just, it was such a rebounding deficiency, a size problem. And Iowa was going to have to shoot lights out from three, and they did at the beginning. And Caitlin Clark was absolutely amazing. But as it went along, they defended her better. Threes weren't falling, and it's just they did a good job of even making one more late run to make it really interesting. But I just never felt like they were going to win because South Carolina, no coincidence, undefeated all year. They were just that's a great team.
An undefeated team for Dawn Staley. Tessa Johnson had 19.
She was awesome.
She was amazing off the bench. And as you were just referring to, Jason, Camila Cardoso, all 6'7", 6'8" of her just towered over everyone.
Yeah, what was the rebounding final?
So 17 boards for her, 10, seven offensive, 10 defensive. But to your point, 18 offensive rebounds for South Carolina, seven for Iowa, and in the end, a 12-point victory. And beyond that, you know, I still think Caitlin Clark should stay at Iowa, but that's not going to happen. She's going to go to Indiana. You know that women's basketball has truly made it when you have, oh God, I don't want to say catty because that sounds misogynistic, but because guys can be catty too. Snarky. There you go. Snarky comments from pro players. Which you're hearing that happen, you know, like, well, you know, I wouldn't say what I think it was Diana Taurasi said this, and I wouldn't count this as snarky. I think she's actually right. I think it was Diana. I apologize if it was somebody else. It was like basically Caitlin Clark has a lot of she's got a rude awakening, basically.
Oh yeah, no, I saw that. I thought that was totally fair.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
That
there was still way more compliments in that if that got taken that way.
No. That. I had no problem. Okay. She's 100% right. Caitlin Clark is going to – you've got all these WNBA players are like, yeah, we've been here grinding, like, what's up? And Caitlin Clark isn't just – she's going to have a target on her back. She's going to have, like, a big glowing red – like, that is everyone's Super Bowl next year is shut down Caitlin Clark. Welcome to the W.
Right.
Screw you.
And like, then she'll figure out the game
she
and
will.
Adjust and then be a good player, I think.
She will. But you see these – is little, I wouldn't call them missiles, but just little lobs here and there. And then the other way you know it's made it is this whole ring culture debate. You know, well, she can't be the GOAT. She didn't get a ring. Well, I don't know. Here's what I asked over the weekend because as somebody who has not watched a ton of women's basketball in his life, I've been very open about that, who's absolutely super interested in what's going on now. Like, this is like the golden era. Like, this is good stuff. I'm having fun watching it. But there's nothing worse than sports guy who's never really, does not have the foundational historical background of watching the sport. Not just statistically, but also like philosophically and everything, all the struggles. There's nothing worse than sports guy. You just have to turn on your national stuff to see this coming in and just taking blowtorch takes to everything.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, everybody, now you've got my attention. Now let me tell you how it is. So it's like, humble yourself, come in and ask questions and try to be educated. And the one I asked, because I've seen this, is how is there an argument that, how can you argue that Caitlin Clark isn't the biggest, most popular women's basketball player now, today?
I would say she's the most popular college basketball player.
No, yeah. You're right. No, you're right. I 100% agree with you. He's 100% correct. Screw the women's part.
Right.
He's right. But you're seeing this whole, like, but I'm talking like college or pro. And no disrespect to Sabrina Ionescu or Asia Wilson or Angel Reese or who put the person in there. You look at these ratings.
Right.
Now, I don't, it's like, I feel you can say Caitlin Clark
But that's a different conversation than the GOAT conversation.
Yes, it is. Is she the greatest of all time? And you know what? Those are fun arguments.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe she can't be without a championship. Sure. No. Does any GOAT not have a championship? No. But also, you need other people there too.
Right.
But the idea that she is not, and I wish it was just a thing where I understand why there's some like, okay, she's the new flavor of the month and or flavor of the year and da 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 da. I understand that people want to be protective of their turf and you got to earn your stripes. Yeah, I get that. That's in any sport. But like, I feel like everyone should be universally, like, who cares? She and others. You know, South Carolina just went through an undefeated season and won the title. And there's people out there saying, why are we even talking about Caitlin Clark? This team won the title. I understand where they're coming. I do. Mm-hmm. It's a very valid point. Also, like, who cares? Whatever brings notoriety, which will also hopefully bring money and has brought ratings and TV deals. And I don't know, like, if I was in the WNBA, I would probably be really split. Number one, I'd be like territorial and like, oh, she's going to have a rude awakening. But deep down, I'd be like, yo, this girl's a cash cow.
Yeah.
Get in here and we're all going to make a lot more money because of her and because of everything that's bringing into the sport, all the eyes.
Yeah, follow the money, follow the ratings, follow this. Same example would be, we were just talking Kings and Lakers. Kings eliminate the Lakers, let's say, in a play-in.
Yeah.
The next day, it's what's next for the Lakers? It wasn't right. That the Kings advanced, and hey, they're going on to face OKC. No, is this the end? Do they have to break up AD and LeBron? What's next? Yes. Is Darvin Ham out?
100,000%.
Did LeBron play his final game? It's like, well, wait a minute. But, you know, Caitlin Clark had an incredible career.
Yes.
Helped elevate the game as far as eyeballs and attention. And, oh, by the way, we just saw one of the greatest individual team, you know, collective teams of South Carolina have an undefeated season.
What a great year.
Yeah.
And if the WNBA can pull any – the WNBA's – I think I saw that I don't think the ratings are out for the South Carolina, but they're going to be bigger. I want to say UConn, Iowa,
was ridiculous,
which beat the record in the quarter in the Elite Eight. So you had the Iowa – Caitlin Clark and Iowa set the record in the Elite Eight.
Yeah.
They beat the record in the Final Four. They're certainly going to beat the record in the championship.
Yeah. But the benefit, too, it was on ABC. Like
right.
Regular, you know, that's going to help, too.
But the Final Four, which wasn't
– right.
That was the one that was like, you beat the NBA Finals, you beat this, you beat that. I looked up, I think –
And it was a Friday night. Like, that's kind of a general kiss of death.
And I want to say, did they say it was either the most watched WNBA game or the most watched finals game? I think it was 749,000 for game four, the clinching game four. It was either last year or the year before for the Las Vegas Aces, right? Let's round up and call it a million. They had 13 million.
That's ridiculous.
13 times. Like, bro. Bring that to the WNBA. Please bring that to the WNBA. Half of that to the WNBA.
Right.
And now all of a sudden it's a big five sport. Let's go.
Yeah.
See what college basketball does next year. I'm sure there'll be others, but you're losing the name in Caitlin Clark. Men's final tonight. We don't have time to go. We've spent the entire segment on the women's college basketball championship, and we don't have time to talk about the men in this segment. What a comment on today. That's awesome. I love it. And we will get to that in a point. And, of course, we will have recaps of that tomorrow. We'll take a quick break when we come back. The Kings sweep the Nets. We got a little post game for you there. And, wow, look at the defense. Look at the big defense on Brad. 1-800-920-1140. I'll throw it out one more time. I see JR holding to talk to us as well. 1-800-920-1140. Jiffy Lube driving the game. Last chance to get in. We will be right back.